When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This Michigan is our time.
Big Ten champion.
Go Blue!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
First victory of the year on the line. Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, and
yes!
Caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
They've done it!
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, USC head coach Lincoln Riley. From NBC Sports, Peter King, plus College Game Day analyst Desmond Howard. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here in Los Angeles, California, on the first Monday of December in 2021. Good to see you, Chris Brockman. How are you over there,
Rich,
sir?
Rich, what up, what up, what up?
Good to see DJ Mikey D back in his chair. Mike Del Tufo,
good to see
how are you,
Rich,
sir? TJ Jefferson in his seat. Good to see you today, sir.
Happy Monday to you, Rich.
We have got ourselves a fun show here on NBC Sports on Peacock, on NBC Sports Sirius XM Channel 85. That's called NBC Sports Audio for those listening in right now. Good to chat with those listening in on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network on Odyssey, streaming us coast to coast. We say hello to those who might be listening to us later on our podcast. We love when people listen to us on our podcast through the Cumulus Podcast Network, our YouTube page, in case you miss anything today, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. It is quite bizarre to me, okay? It is quite bizarre to me that we have got ourselves right here in this football world a team that is the first 10-win team in the NFL. Not just the first 10-win team in the NFL, but the first 10-win team in the NFL with two of those wins coming from their backup quarterback. Not just any 10-win team in the NFL, but two wins coming from the backup quarterback. But the starting quarterback returns to action yesterday. He accounts for not one, not two, not three, but four total touchdowns. And the defense accounts for not just one, two, three, but four interceptions. And that team puts a hurtin' on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
and that team has a running back that is setting records for the team in terms of scoring touchdowns, whether in the air or in the ground.
True.
And that team has one of the best wide receivers when healthy. Unfortunately, those two words are crucial for DeAndre Hopkins. They have that guy. That team, the Kyler Murray-led Arizona Cardinals, has now won all seven of their road games this year by 10 or more points.
That is crazy.
Only the third team in the history of this great National Football League to do that. The 68 Cowboys did it, and the 49ers in 1984 did it. Other teams have done it through two seasons. A single season. We've only seen twice before. Seven road games in a row, won by double digits or more. 10 or more. Double digits or more, saying it that way means somebody's won by triple digits. That's never happened. I think you get the point.
I understood.
Cardinals are terrific. Cardinals are terrific, and they can set the record with their eighth consecutive road win in 10 or more points at Detroit in Week 15, with all due respect to Detroit coming off basking in the glow of their first win of the season. That could happen.
That's no gimme game now, Rich.
I understand that. If this team was named the Kansas City Chiefs or the Dallas Cowboys or the Green Bay Packers or the Los Angeles Rams or the New England Patriots or the Ravens or the Steelers, we would be talking about, or the Buccaneers even now, we would be talking about this is a Super Bowl team. And for some reason, everybody looks at the Arizona Cardinals and goes, yeah. They talk higher register to them. Even you Dallas Cowboys fans, who is going to get a Week 17 piece of this in their building. There's only two road games left for the Arizona Cardinals, too. I don't get it. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs last night won again. They're 8-4, and we'll talk about the AFC in a moment. Tonight, you've got the Bills and the Patriots, and if the Patriots win tonight, then the train leaving the station into their bye week of the Patriots are 2001 reincarnate will be truly streaming and steaming down the tracks. And the Chiefs' defense looks terrific and so on and so forth, but so does the Cardinals. Nobody's talking about the Arizona Cardinals as the 10-win team and team to beat in the NFC because I guess they're going to have to beat Brady and Rodgers on the way to do it, one would think, unless Rodgers and Brady knock each other off. But right now, the Arizona Cardinals, who have lost to Green Bay, maybe that's another reason why. All they got to do is just stay one game ahead of Green Bay. That's all they got to do. And that's what they are right now. That's what they are right now. One game better than Green Bay. That's all they have to do is play the same record of football as the Green Bay Packers the rest of the way. And that means they get the bye week in the NFC. And they'd watch the Packers welcome in the 49ers, which would happen right now. And then we would see a rematch of week one's wild card matchup from last year, Taylor Heinicke trying to hit the Buccaneers with the Heinicke, this time in Tampa. And then Rams Cowboys. I'd like to sit that week out, I'll tell you that, in the NFC. I'd like to sit that week out. Arizona Cardinals are terrific, and they're playing great football. And they are playing great football when they're coming out of a bye. They're playing great football when their starting quarterback's not playing, and they're playing great football when their starting quarterback is playing. I don't know how the hell they got blown out by the Carolina Panthers, who fired their offensive coordinator in Joe Brady. That was a quick run for the hottest coordinator in all of football that was teamed with Matt Rhule, one of the hottest head coaching candidates in all of football, college and pro. They put them together just about a season and a half ago, and we're talking about Carolina has got the best young core of coaches, and now look at them. I don't know how that one happened, but they're not going to see Carolina again, that's for sure. That's not going to be a playoff rematch as they currently sit here. Look out for the Cardinals, folks. It's time that we start talking about them as Super Bowl contenders. And you're already crunching your face up, you Dallas Cowboy fan. I can't wait to see that Week 17 game. Because if the Cowboys play the game that we saw them play against the Chiefs, or the game that we saw them play against the Raiders, or the game that we saw them play against last week in winning against the Saints, they play a game like that against the Cardinals, they're going to be part of that loss by double-digit road bump.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, though?
Okay. I know. We're turning the page. And in terms of the AFC, my gosh, I have never in my 18 years of being an NFL Network, NFL-only guy on that spot, I don't recall ever, even in my days in SportsCenter, looking up week after Thanksgiving and seeing as wide open a race in a conference. I don't recall anything like this. I'm sure there are stats organizations and network stat research departments that can look this up, I guess. But going into tonight's Monday Night Football game between the Patriots and the Bills, you have got a major, huge, top of the conference amount of gridlock. Patriots lead it right now because of tie breaks, but there are 4-8-4 teams sitting atop the conference. And if the Patriots win tonight, they become the first 9-win team in the AFC. If the Bills win tonight, then we'll still have a 4-way tie atop the conference at 8-4, and the Patriots will go into their bye week a half game behind all of that. And the Bills are currently atop the wild card at 7-4. And the Chargers are 7-5. They just beat the Bengals at 7-5. And the latest example of who the hell are the Bengals and when can we trust them blowing out the Steelers and then following it up with that loss. They got blown out by the Browns. They blow out the Steelers before, and they lose to the Jets. You know, I don't know. They've sweeped the Steelers, and then they get smoked by the Chargers, who are very inconsistent themselves. Broncos team beats the Chargers, then they go into Kansas City last night and had opportunities, but Kansas City still pulled it out. As Kansas City's defense has given up a grand total in their last seven games, 26 second-half points. How about that for Kansas City defense that gave up 26 points in a quarter, I'm sure, at one point this year? In their last seven second halves, you could do the math. That's a little bit better than a field goal after halftime. So when the Kansas City offense finally stops having balls that get thrown a little bit too high, or those that are thrown perfectly that get dropped, or when they finally put together a game like we're used to seeing, look out. Kansas City can emerge from this. Tennessee, when they're healthy, terrific, but they're not healthy enough. Who knows? Anybody on that screen can win it. And then your Steelers. They tie the Lions. They come here to Los Angeles and have a game in which everything's working on offense. And the defense, you say, well, there's no TJ Watt. Well, there's no Minkah Fitzpatrick. Last week, they're back, right? And they get smoked by the Bengals. And then they come back in a game against the Ravens, and they play, I mean, they bent. Boy, did they bend. They kept bending and bending and bending and bending, and then didn't break. As Lamar threw another terrible interception in the end zone, right? In the first half of that game. And then the Steelers just don't break. And once again, I guess that's what they've done all year long, is they bend and they bend and they bend and they bend. And then Big Ben comes in, throws two touchdowns, and Deontay Johnson goes for 100. And TJ Watt, 6 days after getting diagnosed with COVID, is able to come back. He passes all the protocols. He's got 3.5 sacks and a forced fumble in that game.
Yeah.
He's on pace to have 20 this year. So just when you think TJ Watt can't be a defensive player of the year this year, well, they're 6-5-1, and they're taking on a Vikings team that lost to the Lions in a couple days. They're still in the mix. You can't sit here and say the Steelers have no shot to make the playoffs when they're sitting right there at 6-5-1, a half game behind everybody else. And they can play defense like that. And if they can finally run the ball and get Big Ben moving down the field against a Ravens team that has to take on the Browns, how great was this? Put that AFC up. Standing up one more time, if you don't mind, Mr. Hoskins. What a bye week for the Browns, huh? What a bye week for the Browns sitting there at 6-6. The Raiders lose at home to fall to 6-6. Okay? The Broncos lose to fall to back to 6-6. The Bengals sitting right in front of them at 7-5. And guess what? The Browns have already beaten the Bengals. If they sweep the Bengals, they'd have the tiebreak over them. That's an absolute path to the wild card basket for the Browns right there. And then the Ravens lose. They're just two games behind them. If they come off the bye week and beat a Ravens team that looks like going to be without Marlon Humphrey now, the Ravens went for two. Not only because they love analytics, as Mike Tomlin kind of pointed out with his tongue firmly planted in cheek in his post-game press conference last night, but John Harbaugh said they were out of corners. So if the Ravens are out of corners, and they were already out of running backs, and they try to come from back from that. Is the AFC North open still for them?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bengals have already beaten them. The Bengals could sweep. Think about this. This is how crazy the Bengals season is. The Bengals could sweep the Ravens. They've already swept the Steelers. And they could still not make the playoffs because the Browns could sweep them.
Wow.
That's how it could go either way. They could easily win this division, the Bengals. And they could easily miss the playoffs.
Right.
The Chargers sitting there at 7-5. They've already beaten the Chiefs. They play the Chiefs on a Thursday night short week at home next week. They could win the division or they could miss the playoffs. The Bills tonight. They could easily win tonight be on their way to winning the division. And they could also miss the playoffs. Because anybody could come from the sniffing it right now and go on a run, including the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. I've never seen a conference like this. I have not. It is so wide open. NFC's more top-heavy. They also have, you know, more surefire Hall of Fame quarterbacks sitting in there. But come on, man. The AFC, you got to have your head on a swivel. And the New England Patriots may be the most trustworthy, gotta see it, going to see it team out there. That's what makes tonight's Monday Nighter so crucial. In a game in Buffalo where there is seemingly the old 100% chance of rain, gusty winds, 30 degrees, dreadful weather, which means, Mike Del Tufo, we are going to have your first weather report of the season.
Hey. I'm ready to roll, Rich.
You should be. Lincoln Riley of USC football is coming on this show. One of the things I want to know is, when did he consider himself poachable? Because we didn't think, you know, we didn't think that.
That was.
I mean, you didn't hear his name out of Carson Palmer's mouth on the show that precedes us every day on SiriusXM and this streaming platform and Peacock and Dan Patrick. He was mentioning Tomlin. You didn't hear Lincoln Riley's name out there, did you? When did Lincoln Riley consider himself poachable? I want to ask him that. And he's going to join us in the middle of this show. Peter King's going to be first up, hour number two. Desmond Howard is slated to join us. His hit time is sliding. He's scheduled to join us in the third hour of this program. And we're also going to have Overreaction Monday here on this Monday as Desmond Howard, one of the greatest in the history of the University of Michigan, one of those rare breeds to win the Heisman Trophy and then become a Super Bowl MVP. He and Charles Woodson can run for mayor in Ann Arbor, Michigan and Green Bay, Wisconsin. How about them apples? And I love that so many Wisconsin football fans have to love two of the greatest in history of the University of Michigan. So I wrote a ton of checks last week, and I am going to take them and cash them in the next segment.
Cha-ching. You're not going to carry them over?
I'm going to cash them in right now, sir.
Oh.
Nickel and leather.
And I'm going to take that house money, and I'm going to throw it out there come New Year's Eve.
Okay.
And we are going to spend it. Yeah, baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, baby.
I make it rain.
Yeah, baby. As Brockman now enters my fray with a little bit of skin in the game. Because the Georgia Bulldogs are sitting there in front of the University of Michigan Wolverines, and let's go. Can't wait.
Woo.
This is going to be a fun segment, next segment. I wouldn't move if I were you. That's coming up next right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. And please join us at 844-204-RICH. We have tons of time for your phone calls. Unless, of course, it's rat poison. Then we'll take it, because that's good for Alabama now. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So, this is unprecedented for me. It's just like this is the greatest winter and fall winter, whatever you want to call. I guess it's technically still fall.
Still fall.
Right. It's just
still
the
fall.
Greatest fall of my life, football wise. This is amazing.
The winter of Rich.
And technically, you know, I mean, my three children were born. Two of them in August. And one in February. So, and I was married in June. So this is the greatest fall of my life. I mean, I cannot imagine a better fall ever. I mean, I got the call from ESPN in a winter of 96. And I moved to LA and got the call from NFL like Network in the summer of 2003. Like, I don't know. This is it. This is the greatest fall of my life. and it just keeps getting better and better and better and better.
Isn't this technically winter?
And I wrote tons of checks last week. I wrote tons of checks last week after beating Ohio State for the first time since I was the host of this show. And for years and years and years coming on this show and having BOFA kicked in, you know, by the BOSAs multiple times and guests and bets that I made and had to wear Michigan, you know, I had to wear Ohio State gear here and couldn't give Michigan gear away for my life to settle wagers. And I wrote check after check after check.
You're over.
And then comes the game. The Big Ten championship game, where those checks could be returned to sender by a terrific Iowa team, and an Iowa team that did not go undefeated, but an Iowa team that, you know, when you play Iowa, you know you're going to get a game where yards after the catch are very difficult. You know you're going to get a game where the field position war is going to be lost more than won. You know, you gotta make sure that you don't make the mistakes. They're very well coached. And Kirk Ferentz has made it his business to stick it to teams like Michigan on the precipice of having a dream run. And Michigan came up with not one, but two huge big plays, including the first run of 30 yards or more that Iowa had given up all year long. Four touchdowns to go up 14-0. And just when I thought like this was definitely going to be one of those rocking chair nights, it wasn't, because Iowa was doing all the things that Iowa does. Michigan made the second half adjustments like they did against Ohio State and started putting the pedal to the metal and wins the Big Ten championship game and does so with the final score of 42-3, and 42 being the number of Tate Muir, the running back at Oxford High School, whose number Michigan was wearing on their uniforms, along with three other hearts for the four Oxford High School students who were murdered in their hallways and classrooms by a classmate last week. Can't make it up. Doing it with dignity, doing it with class, as my colleague Stuart Scott, looking down on me right now, smiling, saying they finally did it. You know, I'm tearing up about this stuff because I'm getting emotional. Doing it and doing it and doing it well, as Stuart would say. And they've got, I don't even know how to handle this. I don't know how to handle it. They've got a Heisman Trophy candidate in Aiden Hutchinson. He should go to New York. He could be the first overall pick in the draft. It's unbelievable how this team has blossomed and how much pride it instills in folks like me to see it happen. It's incredible. It's truly one of the greatest presents the sports world has ever given to me and anybody like me, and there's a lot of us who root for the University of Michigan. Now let me go petty, because I know you like it.
Let me get the tea ready.
What is better? What can be better than beating Ohio State And then beating Iowa, which sticks it to Michigan quite a lot. And in the process, telling Michigan State that their win against us that they puffed their chests out about was nothing more than a speed bump and a character building loss on the way to the Big Ten championship. It's gone. It's forgotten. Great one. Good for you. You know what that is? That's a peach of a win. Enjoy Atlanta. Enjoy going to Atlanta, Spartans fans. That's a good one against Pittsburgh. Michigan State, your consolation prize is Pittsburgh in the Peach Bowl. Enjoy it. And all of this denies Notre Dame a seat at the national championship quartet table. Oh, what an incredible way for this all to play out. And Ohio State, look, man, great run, terrific run. It's all good. One of your kids in the quarterback room who's so terrific, he's leaving, he's out because your Rancho Cucamonga kid keeps getting cold against Michigan. That's great. It's terrific that Stroud's sticking around. Love it. Love it. Because we like quarterbacks who can't beat Michigan. So that's great. That's good. And as much as I love the Rose Bowl and everybody who's here at the Rose Bowl, it'll be great to see all of you folks around here in your scarlet and gray slacks and shirts and hats. I'll help you with your dinner reservations. I'll be waving hello. I hope I run into every one of you here in Los Angeles as you prepare for your big game against Utah. It'll be great for you. Good for you.
No, security that week.
Hey, no, no. You made the Rose Bowl. You're taking on Utah. It's a big game for Utah. Enjoy having somebody gunning for you because the target's on your back and they're trying to make a program building win against you in a bowl game. Enjoy it. They don't know what to do right now that they're out and seeing Luke Fickell go with Cincinnati. It's just like it's the chef's kiss in every possible way. Oh, baby. I don't know what I've done to deserve this. I really feel really good about it. And
it's like the luck of the Irish, Rich. You know, you're not Irish.
You know what? Exactly. Yeah. It's luck of the Jewish. I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't think it is. Because we'll be like, the portions of luck, not so great.
The schmear of luck.
Nah, it's just not. The service wasn't great for the luck. Not the best. And now comes the page turn. The page turn with tons of house money. Tons of house money. House money everywhere for
You're
everybody.
Turning the page. It's Monday.
House
you just won.
Money everywhere coming up. House money. And it's only fitting, even though personally I feel the committee should take a look at a conference winner that has not lost a game, and they should be above somebody that is second place in their conference, regardless of which conference it is. But it does just mean more. The SEC does, and there's a Southeastern bias in college football. And I guess they don't want to rematch Georgia and Alabama if they don't have to, even though I proffer to say folks like Sarah, Tiana, and everybody else who roots for Georgia, that includes you, Chris, would definitely have stopped their New Year's Eve stuff to watch Alabama and Georgia. And many people would have absolutely done that. Absolutely done that. And the Midwest would have loved Michigan versus Cincinnati. And then we would have guaranteed ourselves of not seeing an SEC rematch for all the enchilada. But we'll discuss that. We can discuss that. But Michigan will earn it if they win it, having to go through the runner-up of the SEC and presumably the winner of the SEC. I guess if you're going to win a championship, you're running a gauntlet of the toughest conference in football because, again, Vanderbilt,
so you wanted
Arkansas.
An easier game?
No, I'm not saying that. You got to play
it. That is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I feel for Cincinnati. That's what I'm saying.
So Cincinnati should join the ACC and win that.
Well, they're about to join the Big 12.
Good. So. Well, we'll see how good they really are.
Yeah, we will. Well, we'll see how good they really might be against Alabama. Because I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
This was the soundbite of the weekend. This was the soundbite of the weekend. Because Alabama was an underdog for the first time in forever,
like
to use 90, the frozen
like
phrase.
90 games.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because everybody saw Georgia go undefeated all year, beating a Clemson team that was down. And then, they're out of conference opponents, UAB and the third place, Big South, Charleston Southern and Georgia Tech, I guess, were impressive wins. And then the rest of the SEC, the best team that they faced was Kentucky. I wrote that down here. 9-3, their best record there. So Georgia comes in as the favorite. And
with the number one defense that gave up 6 points a game.
Understood.
Yeah, I mean, that's why.
Understood.
They really should have been a bigger favorite.
Look, man, all I know is that Nick Saban, in the same way that I'm like looking around saying, really, this is happening? I don't, honestly, I cannot believe I watched Jim Harbaugh hoist the Big Ten championship football. And certainly this year where they were picked to what? Finish fourth in their own division in the Big Ten going into the season.
Unranked.
And right. I think they're the first team ever to make the college football quartet that was unranked coming in.
Yep.
Michigan.
Crazy.
The Maizen Blue Blood of Ann Arbor, Michigan. I'm looking around saying, I don't know what's happening here. Nick Saban had to be like, I don't know what's happening here, but I'm loving it because he's always referred to the media talking up his team and him forcing him at some point to tell his team, you're not all that. Don't listen to the outside, okay? Because I don't want to get got this weekend because all y'all, are listening to what the media is serving up in spoonfuls about how good you are. And now it's my job to have to not only figure out the X's and O's and all this stuff, but maintain your expectations of just how good you are when all you're hearing on ESPN and every other show is how terrific you are. He refers to that as rat poison. But this is what he had to say after winning the SEC championship game against Georgia as an underdog.
You guys gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
Yummy.
I mean, the smirk.
Yummy.
He just, man.
So now that rat poison goes back to being the fatal rat poison in his estimation, because that's the way that one that went. We certainly are. What's the current Las Vegas numeral being placed out there for the Cotton Bowl, Christopher?
13.5.
That's only going to go up, I think.
That's only going to go up. I bet it gets to like 16 by game time. We got a whole month.
Oh, boy, that's going to be a ton of rat poison.
I'm going to lay the rat poison. Blowout coming.
So, you can't say, even though you just said it, that I'm advocating that Michigan should have gotten an easier game when prior to beating Iowa in my check writing last week, I've told you and this microphone, this audience, and Sideline Mike of Atlanta, I plan to hear from you a lot over the next 3 weeks. Bring it. Bring them on.
Yeah.
I'll take a piece of that.
It's going to be a great game.
I will take a piece of that because I really like my team. And I like how they go about their business, and I like how they're feeling, and I like how they feel about one another, and it's contagious. I feel it through the television set, and I feel it when I read about it. So there's all of that. Thank you to my football team, the coaching staff, the men and women of Michigan football, as Jim Harbaugh referred to it after the victory on Saturday night. My God, was that incredible. And then, of course, the final number matching Tate Mears' number. Can't make it up, man. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. When we come back, we'll break down the Peach Bowl that everybody's talking about. Oh, no, we won't. Peach Bowl. Oh, this is so great.
Wow.
Hey, Sparty.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Joining us next hour, Peter King, and Lincoln Riley is going to join us. Guys, what if Lincoln Riley joins us and he's got a Southern Californian accent? What if he does that? What if he sounds like the Californians from Saturday Night
Live? Like what?
Love?
Like bro? He's dropping like bros, dude, and like he's surfing.
What if Lincoln Riley joins us?
He's like and Keanu he's like giving, in Point Break.
Or he's giving us directions like the Californians in Saturday Night Live. Well, you know, I got to Van Nuys, and then I took the 101.
To the 134.
And that's when I got off of, you know, off the 105, off the 110.
If he sounds like Malibu from American Gladiators.
What if that happens? Him? Do I have to call him out on that if that happens, like right away?
Yes, right away. Right away. Right away.
What if he's like he's calling me? He's currently in the turmeric aisle at Erewhon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if that's where Lincoln Riley is when we call? Like
we can only hope.
We have to collectively call him out on it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, because again, it's when Lincoln Riley's like, sure, I'll join. You know, like he knows he's going to get questions about how he got to USC and Oklahoma.
Sure.
I'm going to ask him, what do you say to Oklahoma fans right now who are really upset with you?
Yeah, sure.
But he's already in the page turning, so he knows when he joins a show like this one, he's going to have pages turned back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Rich, I'm third in line for a wheatgrass smoothie.
Did you have to look that up?
No.
Did you look up what's...
No, Brockman shops there are one. Remember? That's his spot.
I'm just out of the farmer's market.
I'm sorry. Let me swallow the wheatgrass. Hold on.
All right, I'm good to go, Rich.
Farmer's market. Where he used to be, that was where he's milking a cow, right? Here he's getting the fresh basil.
Sorry, Rich. I'm having lunch at Craig's right now.
Yeah. Wow, I'm sure he could get a table. Yeah.
The Nobu,
how great would that be?
Malibu Man, Nobu. Yeah. Has
I'm
a
sorry,
wave.
I can't hear you over the waves crashing.
Rich, sorry, I'm on the roof of the Soho House. It doesn't have service.
It's difficult. That's right. It's touchy. Well, you got to step outside. They don't allow cell phone chatter at the top of the Soho
Rich,
House.
Hold on. The pool
be so
at
good.
The Beverly Hills Hotel doesn't get good service.
I think we yes, exactly. What if that happens? That'd be great. We'll just call them out on it. That's
sorry,
coming.
Rich.
That's coming up later. So stay tuned here if Lincoln Riley has a Southern California accent.
Sorry, Rich, that's Leo on the other line.
I'm sorry, that's you talking. You probably know him. You probably have like a picture of you and him at some sort of, you know, bash back in the day.
I have an audition for the fourth lead in an NBC sitcom.
844-204-RICH, number one. Turzo in Iowa. Yeah, buddy. How are you, bud? What's going on, Turzo?
Yo.
What's up,
What's
bud?
What's up, Rich?
How
man.
Are you? What's going on?
Hell of a win there on Saturday, my man. That was a lot of fun to watch in enemy territory, I'll tell you that.
When you say enemy territory, what are you talking about? Were you in Michigan?
Yeah. You're sitting in Carl's place with a ton of Iowa fans.
I saw that
guy that called. Yeah.
I saw the photograph. I saw what you tweeted out.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's all good, man.
Yeah.
I'm just...
It was enjoyable, and I'm happy that it turned out the way that we were both kind of going for. I think this gives a great opportunity for you guys to play Georgia pretty tough. You know, and Al in Atlanta, he's going to have a little bit of something to say to you, I'd imagine, but I think you guys might be able to if you control the clock, if you control that run game. I think you might be able to get them.
Either way, it's house money, man. Either way, it's house money because, you know, Ohio State and Big Ten teams have been there before, and they have won it all, but more often than not. And they got to take on one of the best in the country. That's it.
I think that's the best case scenario. Like, that's what you want. You just want to have a seat at the table, and you guys got it.
I appreciate that, Terzo. Thanks for the call, brother. Thanks for reaching out. And interestingly enough, I must say, we've got two Gorilla Glue guys. Toughest players on planet Earth, guys, going against each other.
Love it.
Actually, our first Gorilla Glue guy, and Jordan Davis of Georgia, he was the inaugural toughest player on planet Earth winner. And our latest, Andrew Vastardis, the center of Michigan. They're literally going against each other. How many times you're like, well, they're facing off, it's a wide out in a corner that doesn't travel with the wide out. Right. Or it's two quarterbacks.
Quarterback.
Right, exactly, right? These are literally the guys on opposite sides of the trench.
Center, defensive
They're going to see each other and hit each other all night on New Year's Eve. Wow. Our first Gorilla Glue guy and our latest. Love it, man.
Love it.
Love it. We got those right more often than not this year.
We did.
Let's go to Kevin in North Carolina. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Rich. How's it going, man?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. In regards to your fall in Michigan, in the words of your man, Stuart Scott, can I get a witness from the congregation?
Yes, sir. and we must be butter as well, right? And we must be butter.
Because they're on a roll.
That's right.
And also, while we're talking about Stu, how about Stu's daughter being awarded the Rhodes Scholarship to go to Oxford?
I missed that. No kidding.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Michigan should have been number one in the CFP. The only reason they're not is because they don't want the rematch between Georgia and Alabama. And I love you and Brockman and Del Tufo and TJ, but you were all about Cleveland could easily win the North. In the words of Sherry O'Terry and Steeler Nation, I've got to say to you and ask you, simmer down now. The Steelers are known to make runs in December, and as usual, the North runs through Pittsburgh.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Do we have the AFC North standings? If so, let's settle on that for a little bit here. Because, like I said, the Bengals have already swept the Steelers, but that tie is the tiebreak. That tie is literally the tiebreaker. They're never going to be heads up against anybody unless, of course, Cincinnati or someone else ties. But the Steelers are 6-5-1, having beaten the Ravens. And they're first up at Minnesota, which just lost to the Lions. I'm sorry to laugh that way, but come on now, man.
Who's most likely to get a win next week?
And then the Bengals home for San Francisco, and then the Ravens and Browns play one another. Who's most likely? Well, save that for later.
Okay,
later in the week.
Great. I'll totally save it.
Write that one down. Because that's our new. What's the name of the segment again?
What's more likely?
That's why you just threw me off. You said who's more likely?
Oh yeah, sorry.
My bad. And then the Browns take on the Ravens, and so the Steelers can't be in first place by the end of this week, even if they win, right? Because the Ravens, the worst they could be is 8-5. Marlon Humphrey being out is a conundrum. Yeah. Because that changes, I guess I shouldn't say this so definitively, but you'd think it would change on occasion the way that they play defense. Their style. Normally they just say, screw it, we're going to do what we do. But the reason why they could screw it and they do what they do is they got somebody like Marlon Humphrey that they know they could leave on an island if necessary.
Yeah, that's huge.
So that is big news. Steelers can win the division. There's no question about it. But they have to show a certain level of consistency that we haven't seen through the first 13 weeks of the season. That was a huge W, man. That was a huge win for them yesterday. Let's go to Tom in Ohio. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Rich. How are you?
How are you today?
I'm sure you're doing good.
You are correct in assuming
that,
sir. Can't confirm. Other sources.
Can't confirm.
Yeah. I'm doing all right. It's okay.
I called you Friday and kind of got on you a little bit about hoping that Michigan would lose. And it still kind of sucks that Notre Dame didn't get in and Michigan won on my side of it. I'm sure it's not that way on your side. So I'll eat that crow. But I have a little breaking news for you that I really want to share with you pretty bad. There's a situation going on with your compadre, Dan Patrick. I don't know if you know this or not, but about a year ago or so, Carson Palmer sent them his Heisman Trophy, the actual trophy for the man cave.
Okay.
Well, he's going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, and the Hall of Fame has the trophy in a case, but one of the guys from the show put the key that opens the case in an envelope and taped it to the outside of the case. Well, the key's gone. Carson says he's got the box, and it's heavy, like the trophy's in it, but now there's some talk that the trophy may be gone, and there may be like a block of cement or something in there.
Mm.
So Dan's kind of, you know, he's kind of shaking the bushes now to find out what the heck happened. But I just thought you might like
I will ask Dan about that. Thanks for the call, Tom. I appreciate it. I'll ask DP about that. By the way, congrats to McLovin.
Yeah, big ups. That's awesome.
That's right.
What happened with him?
Good for him.
He's going, he and Maggie Gray are going to do a nationally syndicated radio show and a simulcast television show as well.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's right. So good for him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what do you think? If Oklahoma State had won, let's put it that way.
Yep.
What would have happened? Same four in, right?
Same four in. The teams on the outside, Oklahoma State or Notre Dame, needed Georgia to win to have a spot.
Or Cincinnati to lose.
But
they weren't going to put those one-loss teams, certainly not Notre Dame, above Cincinnati.
If Cincinnati had won, correct.
Correct.
Right.
Right?
They needed somebody to lose.
Where's your argument then that Cincinnati, you know, needs to make a major five conference? So, right? A Big 12 one-loss Big 12 winner still isn't better than an undefeated non-major Big 5 conference winner, in your estimation.
Oklahoma State, they would have come back. They would have had to come back and win.
Right.
Right.
To win the Big 12, that still isn't better than an undefeated Cincinnati team from a conference that you say isn't good enough.
I'm
trying to find where the line is, you know?
On what? If I think Cincinnati should make it?
Right. Where you're like, you know, they should make sure that they join a big conference, what you say.
I do think that.
Right.
Hold on, we can get to
that. No, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. Peter King's coming up.